Hello and welcome to Daily Prayer Today for June 1st, 2021. It is Pride Week, so I thought it would be appropriate to have prayer for that, for the LGBTQ community and our church and how those might work together. So let's go ahead and get started. Blessed be God who loves all creation. God's love has no exceptions. Alleluia. We are the body of Christ, justice seeking, bread breaking, hymn singing, risk taking, body of Christ. Baptized by one Spirit, we are members of one body, many and varied in culture, sexuality, age, class, and ability. We are members of Christ's beautiful body. None of us can say to another, I have no need of you, for only together can we find wholeness. None of us can say to another, I will not care for you, for we are connected like muscle and bone. If one suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. Come in, all who are welcome. Come into worship. Come with your longings, your questions, and your fears. Come with your dreams of a better day, one with dignity and safety for all. Thanks be to God who in Christ has made us one. Let us worship God. Alleluia. Our reading for today are Psalm 54 and 146. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 12, 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 13, as well as 14 to 7, 1, and Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Listen for God's word to speak to you. Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For the insolent have risen against me. The ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them. Selah. But surely God is my helper. The Lord is the helper of my life. God will repay my enemies for their evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For God has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. God upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked God brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. We have Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. These are the statutes and ordinances that you must diligently observe in the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you to occupy all these days that you live on the earth. You must demolish completely all the places where the nations whom you are about to dispossess served their gods, on the mountain heights, on the hills, and under every leafy tree. Break down their altars, smash their pillars, burn their sacred poles with fire, and hew down the idols of their gods, and thus blot out their name from their places. You shall not worship the Lord your God in such ways, but you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all your tribes as his habitation to put God's name there. You shall go there, bringing there your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your donations, your votive gifts, your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and flocks. And you shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your households together, rejoicing in all the undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not act as we are acting here today, all of us according to our own desires, for you have not yet come into the rest and the possession that the Lord your God is giving you. When you cross over the Jordan and live in the land that the Lord your God is allotting to you, and when God gives you rest from your enemies all around so that you live in safety, then you shall bring everything that I command you to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for God's name. Your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your donations, and all your choice votive gifts that you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you together with your sons and your daughters, your children, your male and female slaves, and the Levites who reside in your towns, since they have no allotment or inheritance with you. Second Corinthians 6:3-7. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commanded ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in your affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship is there between light and darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belair? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean, then I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters' children, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and of spirit, making holiness perfect in the fear of God. And Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other nine, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, interesting text for today, especially when I'm doing this focus, but that's okay. So, our readings, in case you don't know, come from just a daily lectionary reading. So, it's a three-year cycle, and so I don't look at these ahead of time. But anyways, here we go. Deuteronomy. Moses is continuing to speak to the people. They're on the edge of the promised land. They're ready to go in. And he commends them, go in and tear down all of the places where the people that you're going to, where they're worshiping idols. Take down those high places, those poles, those altars, those pillars, those all of these different places, right? Take down these things. Partially because he knows that these people are going to be very susceptible to falling into worshiping these other gods, because they're easier, they're kind of like what everybody else is doing, all those sorts of things. And when you're ready, when you've gotten into this land, you'll take everything and bring it together and make a place that I want you, you know, a place for worship. I will give you a place where you can worship me in spirit and in truth. But take away all of these other things. I was thinking as I was reading it how pertinent this is to our own lives. We have lots of idols that we lift up in our lives. Some of them are kind of the more obvious ones, right? We have greed, we have you know, power, the desire of power, of prestige, of influence. We have idols of celebrities. We have all these sorts of things, right? But we also, within the church, we have absolutely idolatry of buildings. We have idolatry of doing things the way that they've always been done. We have the idolatry of structures and systems that we make us comfortable and are not as good at making other people know that they are as welcome as they actually are, according to the gospel. We have idols all around us. And our call, just as those going into the promised land, are to tear down those idols. When we see them, we dismantle those idols. We are called during this time, right, to dismantle those systems of racism, those systems of poverty, those systems that cause our siblings in Christ to feel like they are not welcome in the church. That's also part of the idols and those worship places that we are to be tearing down. And it's hard. It's a challenge. It's not easy to deconstruct our theology, to deconstruct our understanding of what Scripture says to us. But it is necessary. We have to go into the promised land and take down all of these things that are not honoring to God, that draw us away from God, in fact. They're the ones maybe that we think of immediately, and they're the ones sometimes where we feel most comfortable and competent. Those are just as easily our places of worship. And in fact, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we are putting no obstacles in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Right? It's about removing those obstacles. Paul spent his entire career, and yes, Paul has not a great track record. You know, when we look at some of the things he said about women, and that, you know, like there's definitely some problems, but he also worked very, very hard, very counterculturally at breaking down the barriers and the walls that we put between people, claiming very clearly that this is God's gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Don't care what group, what anything you are, right? The gospel is for you. His work was to dismantle, to tear down those walls that he found in the culture around us, and our work is also to tear down those walls, to remove the barriers that we put between us and others, to tear down those walls of hatred, of contempt, of prejudice, of ignorance, of all sorts of different things, right? That's part of our work as followers of Jesus Christ, as ambassadors of God, of ambassadors for Christ, who has come to reconcile the world, just as Paul said just previous to this, that we are to reconcile to God and to one another, to bring a closer relationship. Because we can be surprised. And that's what Luke 17 is about, right? Jesus goes and heals these 10 lepers, these untouchable people, these people that no one wanted to have anything to do with. Jesus heals all of them. He doesn't ask their immigration status. He doesn't ask their orientation. He doesn't ask anything about them at all. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest and you'll be clean. All of them, all 10 of them, go. Go to show themselves to the priest, and on the way they discover that they are made healed. And one single one comes back, lays himself prostrate before Jesus and says, thank you. And this man is a Samaritan. This man is not one of Jesus's people. He's an outsider. He's an other. He's someone else. And he, A, was healed, and B, he's the only one who comes back and says, thank you. We can put all sorts of barriers. We can put all sorts of stipulations on who we think deserves to be in and out of the church. We can put all sorts of expectations about what we think, who should go where, and all that sort of stuff. What are the behaviors? What are the thoughts? What are the theological, standings that we think should be in or out? We're really good at being exclusionary. And yet the gospel is inclusive. Period. The gospel is meant for you, for your children, and for those who are far off. The gospel does not put barriers up. So our call is to take down those barriers. Now let us join our hearts together in prayer. Holy One, we believe that your love will find a way to heal our wounded world, and that suffering and poverty will end. For we believe your persistent love. God, help us be your love in the world. Send us to those who suffer. We believe that you have made us who we are in your image, a beautiful community of race and culture and sexual identity. You declared us as good. We celebrate this diversity, for we believe in your creative imagination. God, help us make it safe for all to live with integrity, for barriers to tumble down, and for all to live in peace. Send us out to change the world. We believe we are all members of one body. We share a heart with those who suffer violence, who live in fear, who are cast out because of their sexuality or any other reason. We ache with them, for we believe that your love, that you love without exception. God, help us to reach out in love. Send us into the world proclaiming the good news of the gospel. We believe that we are not yet perfected. We fear, we judge, we cause harm by our actions and our inaction, but we still turn to you for help, for we believe in your forgiveness. God, help us to receive your forgiveness. Send us into the world to forgive. We believe that the liberation of those in captivity did not end with Moses leading slaves out of Egypt. It did not end with Jesus' death and resurrection. But even today, you are still pulling humanity out of darkness into light. For we believe in the reign of God on earth. God, give us courage and stamina. Send us into the world to lead. We believe it is not too late for those filled with hate to learn to live in love, for we believe in your heart-transforming power. God, help us love even those who hate. Send us out with love for all. We believe that our prayers do matter, and so we offer them now for the people and places that long for relief from suffering. We lift up Michael, Dennis's nephew in St. Louis, who has cancer. For Barbara, who is continuing to recuperate after breaking her pelvis. For the Carter family experiencing and grieving the loss of father and husband. For Buddy and Cindy, as Buddy is in declining health. For Paula's sister, who is recovering from a knee replacement. For John and Jan, friends of Bill's in Birmingham. For my grandmother, who continues to recover. For Barbara, a friend of the church with health issues. For the family and friends of Betty, friend of mine from South Carolina who passed away, as well as Rose, who has continued health issues. For we believe the power of prayer. God, remind us that we are not alone. Send us into the world to be a soft landing place for all who suffer. We believe in gratitude. We offer thanks to those brave souls who risk much for others. We offer thanks for all the moments of grace that sustain us, which we name now, silently or aloud. For we believe that your love and grace surround us on every side. God, give us eyes to see your goodness in the world around us. Send us into the world in gratitude. We believe that the church is an imperfect but well-intentioned collection of souls. Even though we often fail to understand your gospel, even though we often lack the courage to take risks for justice, even though we have not always welcomed your beloved outcasts, still we see that you have not abandoned us. For we believe that you still hope in us. God, help us to be a better community. Send us into the world as the life-changing, liberating church you imagine. All this we ask in the name of your Holy Trinity. Amen. Now let us be united together as siblings in Christ as we pray the words that Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, you have given us what we need: sacrament, one another, hope for a better day. With renewed energy, we offer ourselves to be sent out in your name, hopeful, grateful, useful, leaders of liberation, proclaimers of your love. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today for daily prayer. Like this video, share it with someone else, click on the subscription and the notification button, as well as going to our website, johncalvinchurch.org. Our liturgy today came from St. Mary's Episcopal Church and was used by permission. Our devotion came from the Mission Yearbook of the Presbyterian Church USA. And our readings came from the New Revised Standard Version, the Daily Lectionary Readings. Thank you so much for joining me today. Have a very blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Bye.